The Theater Institute at Sage is putting on a production of Edward Albee's classic Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? The play, which turns 50 this year, is directed by David Baker and pits two couples in a long night of vicious games. This blended student and faculty staging in the Meter Little Theater stars David Bunce and Lee Strimbeck, who join us now, and it's a great pleasure to have them both here on the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure, as always, to see you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Joe.
I saw Lee at a function not too long ago, and I'm paraphrasing now. I don't know exactly what you said, but it was something along the lines of, I take this part and I kick its ass. And I thought, well, that's cool. We have to have you come in and do that. So what was it?
Very Martha-like.
Yeah. But the question is, obviously this is something that you've wanted to do, and now you're doing it, and it's fun, I assume.
I did the part already. I did it over 20 years ago when I was too young for the part.
Yeah.
And when I did it then, I said, I have to do this part again. So I've been waiting 25 years, 24 years to play the part again. And it's because when you get to do a playwright like Edward Albee, it's the difference between like a modern play is like a jet ski, and it's fast and it's fun and it's 90 minutes or it's an hour and it's great. And there's some very good writing out there. But this play is a monster. This play is like getting in a, I'm going to say a Cadillac, I don't know, big vehicle of your choice.
Doing an opera or something.
It's like doing an opera. And it's so, the language is so challenging and so delicious. And it's such a treat as an actor. And it's also an athletic event.
Well, and when you talk, and this is for both of you, but when you talk about the athleticism, another way of saying that, it's very dramatic. It's very emotional. There's a lot there. So you're giving a lot of yourself, which I assume means great stamina from beginning to end.
Just speaking the words takes a lot of stamina.
Right.
I mean, we both have a tremendous amount to say, and at times say very loud or very vehemently. So just producing the words, just producing the voice is a stamina event in itself.
But it's also emotionally epic. I mean, he really is writing about something that's very core to human relationships. And it's amazing that he wrote it when he was so young, because it's an understanding of a long-term marriage that's so profound and so disturbing. And also, I think what David and I are finding in it, the Davids and I, mm-hmm. are finding in it, is what's so human and so beautiful about the story, too. It's not just couples screaming at each other. There's a real passion for happiness and for sustaining love.
Yeah, well, you know, we're both at an age where we can understand so much of not only the relationship, the long-term relationship, but just being at a certain age. And I'm amazed, too, at how at 34 he understands what it's like to be 50.
You know, it fascinates me because you think of plays like this and the classics of course, Arthur Miller of Death of a Salesman is famous for this as well, where you come out and it's just wrenching. But you have to invest, you have to care about these people before it becomes more than just screaming at each other.
You have to care about them, and the really interesting experience about great writing is that it starts to live inside. It's like having a brain worm. And I wake up in the morning, and I think about her journey, and I'm going to sleep, and I'm thinking about her journey, and I'm thinking about her relationship to him, and I'm thinking about her relationship to the couple that enters the house, and her relationship to her father, who's not a character in the play, but that's very important. And so you care about them, and you actually start to live them. In fact, Tony Kushner said something that I found on Twitter this morning about Daniel Day-Lewis, that it's impossible for an actor to play an enormous part without losing something, without giving a lot. And so he said, therefore, actors are a sacrificial animal of a sort. Mm. And that's the way I feel right now.
Yeah.
on the altar, you know, of Albee.
and like any sort of work like that is just epic in proportion. It's epic in proportion because it speaks within a 2 or 3 hour story. It speaks to the human, the act of living as a human being on the earth in so many different ways. I mean, it is almost like birth, life, and death through the 3 hours.
Ego and fear and safety.
Mm-hmm. And I think it reaches us on a whole different level. And that's why I think we're hoping I know I'm hoping that the reaction at the end is people sitting there with their mouth open, wondering what the hell just happened to them for 3 hours.
Oh, well, that's my reaction at the end of most days. But I'll come to the show and at least have it justified. You know, I think that, and not to name drop here, but I actually spoke to Tony Kushner yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And for a piece that will air around the opening of Lincoln, and he said to me very very similarly to what you just quoted, but the interesting thing is he was saying that when you put words, because we were talking about what's it like to write. For Lincoln, the guy that wrote the second inaugural, for God's sakes, you know, what is that like? And he said, well, you know, it's almost like giving your words to a great actor like Daniel Day-Lewis and letting them deal with them. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what pressure that puts on the two of you when you take on a classic like this and you take on these words of, I mean, there, as you say, there's obviously just the emotional and the physicality, but there's also just that pressure of selling something that we as a culture generally perceive as great.
Yes, and not only that, but there is a great, outstanding production of the show on Broadway right now.
Right now, yeah. Right.
Which has been getting some of the most stunning reviews I've ever read, and which I hope to go see when our run is closed. Thank you very much, because I think it'll be...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel enormous pressure. I mean, I always feel like the playwright is in the room, is my director, is my creator, and I strive, as all actors do, to be word perfect. With Albee, when you scramble the words, you really feel it. I mean, it's a long play, but it's very tightly written. I feel tremendous pressure. Right. How about you, David?
You know, it's kind of a mix, because the pressure won't help. You know, the thoughts of, oh my God, it's this monster.
Like, you can't direct that.
There's no use for it other than to get in the way, even though it's nagging like crazy, I'm sure, at both of us. I think as best as possible, trying to focus on, okay, what's the next thing I have to do? What's the next step to get to a performance, you know? And just being appreciative as all get out about being able to speak these words and explore these relationships and this journey, which is genius.
As I mentioned in the introduction, the Theater Institute at Sage is putting on this production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and it is a blended student and faculty staging. So do the students, is it, you know, like they don't know better to be worried about it?
I don't want to speak for Matt and Lexi. I think perhaps they might not feel the same amount of pressure. I think it's one of those things that I look at them and they're so young and beautiful and smart, and I think
life hasn't quite slapped them upside
the
head yet.
Well, I think in 15 years from now, if they're still involved in theater, they'll go, I can't believe I just sort of walked on stage and did Albee that way. I think they'll see it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're giving it their all.
And certainly, excuse me, certainly they are being asked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're being let off the hook or anything else, or even treated like students. They're being treated like professional actors in a professional show.
Absolutely.
What did you see in them, Lee, that you thought, okay, they're up to this task?
Well, I've worked with Matt. I directed Matt and Lexi both in a production I did last year called Hell in High Water by Jimena Yvette Sirka, which was about Hurricane Katrina hitting New Orleans and the life of the people in the city before and after. I suspect that we'll be having some arts coming out of this area in the years to come about the impact of Sandy. So that was a very deep and intense project, and I worked with them both on that, on a brand new play with the playwright right in the Berkshires. And I knew that Matt and Lexi are, above all, intelligent, which is something you really look for in actors. People joke about actors not being intelligent, but it's quite the opposite is true. Anybody who's talented is smart enough to understand. And Lexi is not a theater major. She's a creative arts performing creative arts
therapy
major who wants to work with soldiers with PTSD. And she's just brilliant. And she's doing a great job as Honey. It takes a really bright person to play a not bright drunk person.
Right.
It really does.
Yeah.
And she did grow up around the business. She's from a theater family in Vermont, actually.
That is, it's fascinating to see, because obviously they learn from you, and I assume you learn from them in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Yes, I think the fact that they're not feeling the same amount of pressure, perhaps, that they can kind of walk in with their, you know, cafeteria food and eat their cafeteria food and walk on stage 5 minutes later after burgers and fries. And just, I think that's kind of helpful to me because I get very, I was just telling David last night, I can't sleep when I get home. I mean, I feel a tremendous amount of responsibility to the play and everyone and how I take care of myself and how I comport myself and all that kind of stuff. And I love working with students for that reason because they bring a lot of joy, a lot of joie de vivre into the process that you forget when you get so intense about it.
Yeah.
And there's a grounding as well where it's okay, it's not the end of the world.
It's not, as a friend of mine used to say, brain surgery. Although I said that quote to a heart surgeon once before I saw him do heart surgery, and he said, "That's what we say." So.
That's what I tell the acting students. I say, "Okay, you don't think acting's important. Who's your favorite actor?" And they give a name, and I say, "Okay, who's your favorite heart surgeon?" Nobody's got a name on the tip of their tongue, unless they've had a heart surgery,
right? And then they know the entire crew.
Yeah.
For the two of you, do you dispense with the role of instructor when you are working on a project like this, or is that always in the room?
Yes and no. When I stand on stage in a rehearsal in a scene with Matt, I am George talking to Nick.
Right.
But there may be some suggestions when we stop.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're aware that we're training them as actors while we're doing this. And for me, the main thing in that, and that includes with the students working around the production, is that to be aware that we're mentors. Right. However, there's a really interesting thing that happens when you're in a production like this for stress relief, because this production has a lot of darkness to it, which is that the jokes get very raunchy. And we have said to the students several times, like, this is what here in rehearsal stays in rehearsal. Because you end up having to do it just to release the pressure. And, of course, there are scenes I have with young Matt McFadden, which are, you know, pretty shocking in terms of what happens with Martha and Nick that night. So,
yeah.
And he's been very mature about it, and we approached it the way you do, you know, professional theater, which is you take your time and you talk about it and you progress slowly. But it's there are times when I go, oh my goodness, this is a student after all.
And we, right. You know, at I assume they do this in, you know, all college theater departments. I don't know, but we do take a team approach to the kids' education. So it isn't like David Baker's the director and nobody should talk to Matt except him. We talked, Lee and David and I talked to each other about, how do you think Matt's doing? Should anybody say anything about something? Any suggestion? Anything like that? You know, so it really is kind of a, we're all look to be on the same page and all look to the benefit of their education, which makes it a really nice atmosphere in terms of being able to approach the students themselves.
The Theater Institute at Sage's production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf runs through November 10th. For ticket and show time information, you can visit sage.edu/theater. Basically, here's what you need to know. November 1st and 2nd, 10 a.m.
It's airing after that. So.
Okay. When is it airing?
Friday.
That's the 2nd, right? Okay.
Friday,
all right. So here we go.
They could drive and see the last act.
So the 2nd and 3rd at 8 would be okay. Okay, here we go. So here's what you need to know. If you want to see the show at 2 o'clock, you can go on November 4th or 11th. If you want to see the show at 8 o'clock, you can go on the 2nd, 3rd, 9th, and 10th. You can find out more information by going to sage.edu/theater or call 518-244-4505. 518-244-4505, or again, sage.edu/theater. Lee Strimbeck and David Bunce, a great pleasure to have you with us. Give us our regards to the entire cast, and we will be thinking of you. Have a wonderful time, and thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.